This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Okay, good morning, everybody. This is Marcy Sigg. I have Jane Silveria here with me in Josue, Colorado, and also Patsy Rushing. So we have a great team here that took all of us to get together to create this for you guys. We're going to go over the non-traditional funding opportunities in just a few moments. If you have any technical issues, please type in your chat box there on the right or your question box on your screen. We're going to move on to the slide number 4 here. We want to make sure everybody's phone is on mute so that way we don't have any disturbances during the call. If you don't have a mute button, you can press star 6 to mute or unmute. And please don't put your phones on hold because we will hear the music, so everyone else will be disturbed by that. Okay, basically this conference call is going to be pretty informal. There's only a few of us on the line. I think right now we just have 10 of us. If you do have questions, like I said, you can type them in your question box on the right, or you can hold your questions till the end. Because this is a competition, we are limited to the way we can answer your questions. Basically, we can answer what is in the RFP and direct you and guide you that way. Okay, we're on to slide 5 here. This is just our agenda for this morning. We are going to go over preparing and submitting your application. Jane will go over the Perkins accountability information. Then I will go over quality assurance tools and resources. And then Josue will end it out with the online survey that we have at the end. And then, of course, we'll take your questions. Okay, the purpose of our webinar is we hope that you'll find the funding opportunities information, pertinent programmatic information, performance reporting requirements, and we're going to provide the submission requirements for you. Most of you are familiar with the Perkins funding because you do have secondary or post-secondary funding through your agencies. But slide 8 also tells you where that money comes from. This $62 million, roughly, dollars is the total of our Perkins basic grant to Florida. So out of that money comes your Perkins secondary, post-secondary, the state administration, which covers our building here and the facilities that we are managing and the staff. And then we also have the state leadership. Out of the state leadership is where this money is coming from for non-traditional. We just wanted to get you guys a recap on that. Okay, from the beginning, when you guys are looking for funding opportunities, most of you are familiar with this website. There are funding opportunities for the career and adult education section. You would go there to find the non-traditional opportunity, any other funding opportunities for secondary, post-secondary, or any other programs that we have. We recommend that you read the RFP carefully and follow the instructions, as everyone is a little bit different. Just because you've done Perkins secondary, post-secondary in the past does not necessarily mean the way this one is set up will be the same. All your applications will have a section with forms and a specific narrative tailored to that program. So it's really critical that you use that checklist on the last page of your RFP to assure that all your required items are submitted and also arranged in the proper order. We recommend when you're creating your narrative that you save the information in Microsoft Word before you insert the information. That way you can play around with it, you can check the spelling, and so forth. You want to make your order of the narrative the same as what's in the application, the RFP. You want to also label it. So if you guys have a copy of your RFP with you, for example, item 1 is the project abstract or summary. So when you're doing your narrative, you would write number 1, project abstract or summary, and then your narrative behind that, and so forth. Your narrative should be presented brief, clear, and concise. And you'll want to note that each section of the narrative does have points. Because this is new to us, we're very excited. This is a non-traditional new program. All the points are gathered for your total score. so you do want to make sure that you are concise with your answers. The purpose of this is basically to provide non-traditional programming to underrepresented and underserved youth in grades 7 through 12. The funding should increase the enrollment, retention, and placement of students in non-traditional career training programs. And your program must be on the non-traditional list. You can find a copy on the list at the website there listed on your slide 13. These activities can be integrated into the normal school day or into an after-school program. The only eligible applicants are school districts and state colleges currently awarded funds under Carl B. Perkins. Also, those two agencies must serve as a fiscal and lead programmatic agent. On slide 15, you'll see the total funding for this program. Again, this is taken from that first slide where you saw the different monies breakdown for the basic grant for Perkins. A total for this program for non-traditional is $40,000. You'll see on the next bullet up to $10,000 maximum per project. Basically, that means when you submit your application, the most that you will be awarded is $10,000. So a total of $40,000, which basically means only four agencies will be awarded. Your applications are due on August 26th or before. Now we're going to dig a little deeper into the application narrative. So if you have your RFP with you, you can follow along. The project abstract or summary is very specific if you look at the criteria. Each section throughout this RFP, you have eight sections, lists the criteria. So basically, as you're creating this, if you follow all of the questions on each criteria section, you will have answered what is asked. If you miss any of those, your points may be deducted. You'll have different areas with different points. Like you'll see the first one is 15 points. For example, your project need is another 15 points. Any of those points can go as high as 15 or all the way to 0 if you're missing areas. We will have a group of volunteers that will be reviewing these. The minimum score to receive an award is 70 points. Of course, you can get a maximum of 100. And again, we're only going to be able to fund four with the amount of money we have reserved for this program. If you move along to number three, the expected measurable outcomes and project deliverables, again, this has a very specific criteria. This one has the 20 points, and as you'll go through this, you'll see that each one has points reflected for that section. Some areas, for example, the very last one, number 8, which is support for your strategic plan, that's a fixed requirement. Basically, what that means is you will not get any points for that. However, you must submit that. If you don't submit it, the person reviewing will make a note and make a comment of that. You will not lose points, but it just doesn't look good overall or your total of your 70 points. So you want to make sure you address all 8 items. Another attachment to this narrative is the budget narrative form, DOE 101. Most of you are familiar with this as you've done the same form for your other Perkins grants. You want to make sure that everything you put into this form is tied to your program goals and follows along with the narrative criteria that you typed in. You want to make sure it's reasonable, allocable, allowable, and necessary. We do have an example. It's on page 15 of your RFP, and I strongly encourage you to go through that sample and write your budget narrative according to that. We want to make sure that the person reviewing your grant will be able to tell what this is for, who, why, when, where, and the quantity of items. Some examples of some budget items are salaries, professional technical services, contractual services, materials and supplies, and administrative costs. If you do have contractual services in your grant, you want to make sure you also submit your signed contractual agreement as an attachment with your project. Also on the DOE 101, you want to make sure you include your function codes, and those are required to the school district. Object codes are only one per line item are for the school district and colleges. You want to make sure you fill it out correctly. Again, these are volunteer reviewers that are experts in this field. They will be trained to review these applications. They have a formal training process they go through. They will be objective when they look through these, but you do want to make sure you have everything clear, because if they have to question something, they may not score it as high as you would like. One item that could be on your budget would be administrative costs. And on this slide, I just wanted to make a point of the middle there, section 135D. We're going with the 5%, no more than 5% of your total grant allocation should be made towards administrative indirect costs. I believe the RFP states there's other variations and possibilities, but we have to fall under the Perkins Act, which is the more strict guidance of the 5%. And another key point I wanted to point out here is positions such as project coordinators, accountants, clerical staff, any positions basically not directly serving students are considered administrative. For the contractual service agreements, the RFP contains a section on that. And if you have a subrecipient, just want to make you guys aware that the fiscal agent, which would be the school district or the college, is responsible for all the programmatic reporting and the fiscal management of that project. And that falls under the compliance as well. So you want to make sure if you're contracting out with somebody that they will be following through and doing what they're supposed to be doing. There's a great example on the bottom of slide 21. If you go to that web link on pages 11 and 12, there's a checklist that will help you in creating a contract to make sure that you're not missing any pieces of that. So we kind of go through that to make sure your contracts have those. It's a good idea to do that yourself to avoid any situations down the road. The next slide, you guys are probably all familiar with this by now, it's the Federal Uniform Grant Guidance. We just recommend that you're familiar with this, and it's a guide to federal allowances for your grant money. This kind of falls, all your grants that you have through fall under this, so it's a really good idea if you're not familiar with this to take a look at it. Just go out on the website, do a search for these parts and these sections, the CFR parts, and you guys, it will help you managing all of your projects. The risk analysis for school districts and state colleges is not new this year, but I did want to make you aware of it. If you do need to submit one of these, not everybody does, if you submit a 610, you want to make sure it's attached to your attachments section. If you use that checklist at the end of the RFP and it's not in there, you want to handwrite it in or type it in when you submit it and attach numbers to that as part of your application page numbers. If you do have the 210, the 610, it's in effect indefinitely if you're a school district or a college, so you won't need to submit it again if you've done that already with your other Perkins grants. And you can make a note of that actually on your checklist when you submit your application. You can make just a little line saying already submitted with other Perkins grants. Another attachment that you might use is equipment purchases. If your grant covers any type of equipment, especially if it's $1,000 or more, we require that you use the equipment form as part of your grant application. There's a website here at the bottom of this slide for the Uniform Grant Guidance. It goes over cost principles and audit requirements and definitions of what they consider different forms of equipment. So it's just a really good resource to have. Again, this next slide kind of follows along that with the Uniform Grant Guidance. It goes through different definitions of what a technology system is, IT, capital expenses, capital assets, and so forth. So if you're not familiar with this, it's a really good tool to have and to be familiar with. Use it, especially to any of you that are new to this program. I know a lot of people have retired and we have new people working on grants, so if you're not familiar with it, it would be a great idea to know how to find this. On the conditions for acceptance, this is a part of the RFP, and basically what this is telling you if you don't have at a minimum these things, we won't even see it in our department. So when you get ready to submit your application, you want to make sure that you have that DOE 100A with the original signature from your agency head. And you want to make sure you have that DOE 101 budget narrative and the assigned tax number. If we don't have those, it won't even make it through the competition. In addition to that, you must submit it no later than the close of business on August 26th. Actually, it has to be received by DOE no later than August 26th by close of business, which would be 5 o'clock. If it's received after that date, it will not be included in this competition. Again, when you're submitting this, I want to make sure that you guys do the original agency head signature. And you want to make sure you submit one original application and 7 identical copies of that application. You want to make sure it's in blue ink because it's much easier to know if that's your original, and then your copies will show up in black when you make the copies. A lot of times we will get all copies instead of the original, and that holds it up, or again, it's not allowed in the competition, and I would hate for anyone to miss out on an opportunity over something like that. So just make sure you use blue ink as a safeguard. Also, the 7 identical copies, if you submit 3 copies instead of 7, again, that might hold up the competition as well, where you may not get funded. So you really want to make sure you send in the 1 original and 7 identical copies. We do not make copies on our end. You want to make sure you send it to the address listed on your screen. It is also listed in the RFP. And now I'm going to turn it over to Jane, and she's going to go over some performance measures for you guys.
Good morning. You all have to have indicators for the non-traditional participation and completion. Those are shown here, your 6S1, 6S2, and then you've got the 5P1. You've got the 5P1 for non-traditional credit clock hour and also for secondary. So you've got both secondary and post-secondary indicators. As a state, we are meeting those indicators, even though at a district level you may not be meeting all of those indicators. Some ideas and suggestions that you could do for these grants. We're looking at middle school and high school students, both male and female. They have to be between grades 7 and 12. This is a secondary program. So we want you to be innovative. We want to come up with some ideas that will be distributed throughout the state, maybe even shared throughout the country. For middle school students, we're looking at things like after-school programs. We're looking at maybe summer programs. Remember, the grant ends on June the 30th, so they have to end by that time. Some exploration or career experiences in non-traditional fields, things like shadowing. When we go up to high school students, we could go into dual enrollment at your career technical center, college, or the state college into PSAB program. We could look at after-school programs. We could look at integrating curriculum into existing programs. We could look at some of the summer programs and mentoring and shadowing in non-traditional careers for these students would also be good opportunities. At a school level or a district level, you could develop websites or webinars that could be statewide, district-wide. They could be developed by your staff or by your students. We could look at developing curriculum and instructional materials that would be disseminated statewide. You could bring in guest speakers in non-traditional fields that could open up opportunities for mentoring and shadowing. Marcy talked about the use of funds. You could use them for curriculum development, substitute teachers while your regular teachers are developing curriculum, consultants, as long as you have that consulting contract that Marcy spoke about, technology, stipends, materials and supplies, equipment, things like that that would help this program. So what will the judges be looking for? They're going to be looking to make sure that the program that you have selected is one of our impacted programs. They're going to look at your non-traditional Perkins indicators and your targeted goals if you have an improvement plan or anything like that. Make sure that you have the targeted population, either males or females, in non-traditional careers on the list that is included in the grant. What type of impact this is going to make on your students? Do you have measurable outcomes that can be determined by evaluations? Is it going to be a sustainable program, or are we just going to give you the money and it's for 1 year only? We're looking at partnership and collaboration that you might have within your school, within your community, with business and industry involvement, and looking at a cost per student served. So please remember that, like I said, the services have to be in a non-traditional program on the list. They have to be for grades 7 to 12 only. We want them to be innovative, and we would love for them to be replicable.
Okay, before I move on to the resources, I kind of wanted to recap on a couple things I thought were real important for this competition. Just because this is new, we've never had a Perkins competition for this. I mentioned earlier that the max dollar amount is $40,000 for this program, and ideally, if everyone had asked for $10,000, there would be only four awarded. However, you're not required to ask for the full amount. You can ask for $3,000, $5,000, $8,000, whatever you feel would meet your needs for your program. So basically, if that were to happen, the scenario would allow more opportunities for more agencies to receive that money. So we would have more than four. So that's something to keep in mind. You don't have to ask for the total maximum of $10,000. You can ask for what would fit your specific program. With that in mind, I wanted to go over a couple items from the RFP, a couple key areas. When you're doing your narrative and you submit your application, you want to make sure you take a look at page 11. And basically, that goes over your maximum page limit, which is 10. It goes over your font size, your margins, single-sided pages, all kind of really important components of this application that the reviewers are going to be looking for. And basically, it's just following the directions that are given there. Another important thing to keep in mind is your notice of intent to apply. So anyone that is intending on applying needs to send an email to Josue by August 12th. His contact information is listed at the end of this presentation, as well as on page 16 of your RFP. In addition to that, the last date to answer any questions regarding this program is August 5th, so that would be tomorrow. So anyone that has questions for this, we need to have them all no later than tomorrow. And again, just a quick note on the conditions for acceptance, just to remember what all needs to be submitted, the original with the seven copies, in order to get it in the door by the due date of August 26th. So I just thought those were real important notes to remember regarding this program because it is new to a lot of people this year. With that in mind, most of you are probably familiar with these, but we wanted to let you be aware of the Perkins resources. So these are some links here for the quality assurance policies and procedures and the uniform grant guidance, which we mentioned earlier. The next slide goes over the green book, Most of you are familiar with that. If you're not, I would get very familiar with it. It is basically our guidebook for everything that we do at DOE regarding the grant program. So usually if you have any questions on your grant, I would turn to the Green Book first and then contact program managers regarding any questions. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Josue to talk to you quickly about the survey that we have, and then we will take any questions that you might have.
Good morning. Here on slide 40, you'll see two links. The first one is a survey for this webinar. We're always trying to fine-tune this process and try to make it easier for both everybody applying and for us on this end. So if you could spare a few moments, please follow that link and fill out just a few questions to help us better fine-tune this process and just make it better for everybody. There's always room for improvement, and we really believe that here. The second link is we're looking for reviewers for this grant, and we're also looking for people and experience. We try to find a very diversified demographic, people with varying years of experience from different locations. So if you feel like you may be interested in maybe being a reviewer for this grant, please feel free to click on the link and register as a reviewer. We're always trying to find some, because without the reviewers, this process would not be possible.
And just because you apply doesn't mean you can't be a reviewer. You would just be reviewing an agency that is not your own and probably one located in another part of the state. We try not to have reviewers from similar areas. So, for example, if you were from Leon County, you would possibly be reviewing an application from Miami. So we would just try to do opposite ends of the state. And like Josue said, we try to pick different experiences and different demographics to do those reviewers. So we really appreciate anyone that would like to do that. Okay, we're going to take questions now. If anybody has any, you can use your question box on your screen, or you can, since there's so few of us online, you can just take your phone off mute and ask the question that way.
Presentation mode is now enabled.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
I think it was on presentation mode. I'm sorry, I missed that.
No? Presentation mode is now disabled.
Okay, sorry about that. We had a technical issue here. Okay, does anyone have any questions? No. No questions? Okay, no questions. All right, well, if anyone thinks of anything, you have until tomorrow. And thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.